Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, what a time to be alive. And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week that makes you think that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. Here we are.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Happy it's New Year.
The listener.
It's they'll know we're lying.
You can say Happy New Year on December 31st. That's allowed.
No. Happy New Year's Eve or I'm out. I'm leaving the party.
Get him out of here.
People were saying it to me yesterday. I was hanging out with people. You're allowed to say it all this week.
I said it to somebody yesterday, but I was panicking. So that was part of it. That was
What were you panicking about?
Oh, just, you know, many interactions, small amount of panic. No, I think it was I was getting a package from my neighbor, and then the conversation lasted about 10 seconds longer than I expected, and I was just like, Happy New Year. All right, bye. Okay, see you. Thanks for
waiting
my little grocery box.
Waiting in dangerous territory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a while since we've talked about my mail, the mail struggles of my my building, but...
The MALE struggles of your building.
Yeah. I think it's very sweet that at this point, my whole building is now like, we all work together to get each other our packages. It's a whole...
That's beautiful.
It's a collection of us all working together. You know, as soon as you see somebody like, you see a FedEx guy starting to leave a note on the door, everybody's like leaning out their windows and they're like, stop. No, who's that for? We'll get them.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah.
People in my building, there's like a nice, like if you're coming in and you see, because they drop all our packages right in the front door. If you're coming in and you see some and they're like for people who live around you, you pick them up and you put them by their door. I always think that's nice.
It's a community city. People say it's New Yorkers are mean. What the heck?
The ones that steal the packages are mean, but the ones that try to prevent that from happening are nice.
Look, they just see an opportunity. That's what, you know.
That's what the city's all about, seizing your opportunities. And sometimes those opportunities come in the form of other people's Amazon packages.
Yeah. You know? It's such a weird, like, way to make money. I don't know. Like, I hate it, obviously. I think it's very bad. But, like, what a weird, slightly thrilling way to make your path through life of just like, cause you have to be getting like mostly like toothbrushes, you know, like it's so high risk for usually so little reward. Like maybe once in a while you'll get like a phone or something, but like 90% of the time you're getting like a curtain. Yeah. It's just like, was this worth it?
My bar of gold has arrived.
Yeah.
I haven't had a package stolen in probably 2 years, I think. I don't know if I've ever had one stolen living here, and I just had one taken, and I totally get why, because it was a new winter jacket, and if someone orders something and it comes in a huge package from Eddie Bauer and it's early December, you know you're gonna luck out on that.
Yeah.
Like if you steal that package, you know what it's gonna be. It's gonna be fucking sweet. And Eddie Bauer just immediately refunded me and I just bought it again. So it's fine. Like I got it, but yeah, I mean, good thing to steal, you know?
I mean, yeah,
I hope someone is enjoying it.
It could have been like a dog bed. It's like, oh, man.
Eddie Bauer dog bed.
Yeah. If I was...
preppy dog.
If I was a package thief, I'd be looking out for... I know they're, like, required to do it, but you know how, like, any electronics have to have, like, 14 stickers on them? They're, like, battery inside. I'd be looking for those bad boys. I'd be like, anything with a lithium battery in it.
I got a phone stolen. I forgot about that. That did happen, but I think that was the mail. Like it was an inside job. Somebody took it before it got to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, you know exactly what this is because your job is to deliver them. So fair enough. Fair play to you.
Yeah. Figure it out. They know it's good. You know, they're allowed to take. That's part of the UPS union agreement is you can have one. One per year you get to take.
Everyone's allowed to take one.
Little off the top. It's a Christmas bonus.
Yeah. One gift for me, one gift for you. That's just
quid
fine.
Quid pro quo.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, to do that. But I think it's fun. I think it's fun that there's a little mystery involved in receiving anything. Just another quirk.
It makes it more exciting. Like, it's already so exciting when mail comes, when, like, a package comes for you. It's even more exciting when... there's some risk involved.
Yeah.
But it might not, you know?
Because
heightens the stakes.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're if you live somewhere else, you might have that excited feeling of like, oh, is my package coming today? We're here. Even after you get the notification that your package is delivered, you still aren't sure if you're getting it that day. You're like, whoa, yep. I wonder if it's actually there or if I have to go to Maspeth.
If I have to go to a Walgreens that's been closed for 8 years, maybe it's there. Maybe someone threw it through the broken window at the vacant Walgreens.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just in the middle of a bombed out apocalyptic Walgreens that's been picked clean by other people.
Oh, man. I was in my hometown. damn.
All right. Somebody just swerved on the highway.
I was.
Yeah.
That was the, like, monkey running around the hotel room sound, right? Really good. But yeah, I was in my hometown, and I had to run an errand, and I was, like, being an asshole, just, like, barely paying attention to anything, looking at my phone while I walk into this Rite Aid. And I get, like, halfway into this Rite Aid, and I look up and I look around, and it's fucking empty. It's just, like, it was going out of business, so they had, like, I would say 20% of the aisles had stuff in them and everything else was empty. And I didn't realize until I was fully inside the Walgreens and then was like, oh, I would not survive in an apocalyptic situation. I would be struck down immediately.
Yeah.
As long as there was still, phone service, I'd be fucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This Rite Aid burned down years ago.
It was very surreal. It was just like very strange.
Just walking strange into a feeling. Closed business because somebody jimmied the lock open before you. Did you go nuts? Did you take everything that was left? Free Q-tips.
No, I needed a contact solution and they were like, we literally have none. And I was like, you are a Rite Aid. This is something you sell. And they're like, not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We will soon cease to be a Rite Aid.
Yeah. So. I had to ring it while I was home. I decided to get my New Year's supply of underpants and I had to ring a bell and have a customer service associate come get my underwear.
Underpants, please.
Like, boxers, please.
Bell.
Yeah, because they have them locked up because apparently they're the new target. People are stealing value packs of Hanes. Again, risk reward there. I don't think particularly high, but you know.
How many pairs you getting to, like, if you're like, I'm replacing them all. I'm going clean slate. What are you getting?
I'm not, you know, the rest of them aren't, you know, skeletons of their former selves. They're mostly fine, but I was
they're
time
viable.
For a
the rest of them are just in shambles. They're just shredded.
Yeah, just basically, you know, like more of like a cargo net than boxers. No, they're in fine.
I watched the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where his chiropractor has underwear like that. Have you seen that one? He like bends over and he sees the waistband of the underwear and they're like barely attached to the fabric. And he's like, I can't go back here. Like, he's like, he tells the guy, he's like, this is why you don't have patients, is because your underwear is so bad. And and makes him send an email to all of his patients and say, I've recently
the guy
been...
is Josh Gad.
It's Josh Gad. Yeah, it's Josh Gad. Josh Gad's nasty underwear.
Twice as bad.
I can't.
Cargo net is the right.
I saw your underwear, and I can no longer allow you to manipulate my spine and do in things that look like they're fatally injuring me.
Yeah, no longer can I allow you to shove a balloon into my sinuses and inflate it rapidly and ask me if
really
I hear
good.
A cracking sound in the middle of my skull. That's good.
To do that move.
If chiropractors were allowed to, they would put beef bouillon in your ass. They want you so bad.
They Garfield your ass.
Sorry, I can no longer have you do that thing like in a movie where they're trying to get one of my guard uniforms and they're come up behind me and break my neck. Sorry. I can no longer pay you to do that to me.
You go into a chiropractor and they come out wearing your clothes.
And it's like,
yeah. Going to Splinter Cell HQ to get my chiropractic done. Drop off the ceiling.
He grabs you like a Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. Why is my chiropractor wearing NVGs? This is so strange.
He's showing up in a cardboard box. I don't understand.
Yeah. I may have mentioned this before, but it's like, I also think it's funny. My dad is like into acupuncture right now. And look, acupuncture, maybe it works. I don't really know. But his acupuncturist was like, stop drinking alcohol, stop eating sugar, like improve every health like facet of your life.
Then this
and then
work.
I'll do acupuncture on you. And he's like,
right.
And he's like, it's actually working. I feel much better. I'm like, yeah, I feel like this isn't like a very, like scientifically, this is not a sound experiment because.
Right, right, right.
I don't think so, pal. That's not how this works.
It's going to be hard to separate out the percentage that's attributable to the to the needles going in. I think that's.
Which that could be a real job. Like that's all the acupuncturist needs to do is just like, hey, I'm going to be someone who's going to tell you to be better and I'll get mad at you if you're not. Like I'm just going to be a source of responsibility for you.
It would be like a very good trick to like, because I think they're like, acupuncture, I know people who really like who swear by it and think it works and, you know, they already were healthy or whatever. But I do. And they like trust medical science as well. I don't want to paint all people who like acupuncture in this with a broad brush. But I do feel like there is something to be said for like naturopath type people who just trick people who don't trust doctors into doing the things that a doctor would recommend. Like that's very that you're doing a service when like the person comes to you wanting ivermectin and you're like, have you considered eating vegetables instead? The medical establishment won't tell you this. And it's like, great, thank you.
Yeah, it'll align your chi if you stop eating 14 cookies an hour. That's actually going to be good for you. Also, I saw an all-time like bullshit medical thing. It was like a, of course, Joe Rogan clip because YouTube will not stop trying to get me on that train. But it was just some guest on there who goes, did you know that 75% of your bones are in the foot? It was like, that is one of the wildest claims I've ever heard in my life.
That's so good.
That just like doesn't check out on any level. Like, there's a lot of little ones in there, but like hands, like is there's it, so is it many like, other ones.
Is it like by number? Obviously, that's not by mass, you know.
It's not by number because it was coupled with an orthopedist being like, this is crazy.
So I just Googled it and 25% of your bones are below the ankle. That I buy.
But
he just fucked up the percentages. He did them backwards.
Yeah. I feel like that's maybe, I was thinking about this. I'm like, maybe the problem, one of the big problems with like the Joe Rogan podcast is that Joe Rogan thinks he's smart enough to be a counterpoint, but he doesn't know anything. So he has to just be like, is that true? And they're like, yes. And he's like, well,
I don't
I've
think
done
he ever really
work.
Tries to,
that's crazy.
Tries to be a counterpoint. Does
that's
he?
Crazy.
Yeah. He just goes, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think he thinks he is. I think he's like, he's like, I'm, you know, don't worry. We've got a fact checker built in.
I will hold you to account.
Jamie looked really that up.
Yeah, that's what he said. I couldn't think of the name. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Jamie just has 14 tabs open of like Snopes pages every day. They're like, everything is wrong. I don't know. Yeah.
I never listened to it. I feel like that's kind of a scary job is to be the Joe Rogan fact checker. Like, I don't know. Very contentious. People are going to be mad at you a lot, probably.
I don't think I think he just keeps it to himself. It's just like,
I just saw that clip of where he's like talking about something Biden said, but it was actually Biden quoting something Trump said. And like, he says like, you know, it's sort of supposed to be like evidence that Biden is like senile or whatever. And the fact checker is like, oh, actually he was quoting Trump and Trump said that. And they just kind of are like, oh, and like move on.
It's very like, well, you know, the fact that I believed it shows that what, you know, it says a lot, really. You know, the fact that I thought it was true. It's like, oh yeah, okay, perfect. That's great.
Yeah.
Unassailable.
Yeah. I mean, I will say it does not at all make me feel more confident to have a father that is the same age as Biden and just be like constantly being told about all the things we're checking for, and I'm like, so this is him too, like he is also,
oh yeah,
like there's a lot that's going wrong where they're not even surprised, like there isn't a lot that's going wrong in terms of everything is fine, but it's just like
just generally
yeah
but maybe Biden needs an acupuncturist to tell him to eat better.
Yeah, he's eating too much honey straight from the pot, like Winnie the Pooh. That's his. Just digging in there.
And then you can
they
sell
have to put a lock on the fridge in the White House.
Yeah, lock on the fridge. Commander's biting everybody. It's a madhouse over there, dude. It's pretty
lock
wild
on
over
the
there.
Fridge. That's classic. That's some real Kathy shit.
Just Secret Service agent waking up hearing
a
lock rattling.
You can't put your own lock on the fridge. That's not. It can't be self-imposed. Well, then you can just unlock it.
Well, you have it with a pin pad, and it's one of those alarm clocks that rolls away from you. No, it's so you have to do. So it's a lot of work to be able to get in. Mm. Yeah. Although you just never lock it.
I was imagining it again. It's like an airlock. It's like only open at certain times, and it's like.
It's an airlock. It opens. There's one fridge in the middle that maintains the temperature.
Right, and that's then, right. Yeah. This is a clean fridge.
Dude, you know what I think we need just for pure chaos levels is we need a sleepwalking president. We need a president.
Yeah.
At night, they have to like keep him away from the nuclear football because he has.
They have to strap him down. Yeah, America's ready like for a sleepwalking president.
The Birbiglia campaign begins now. He's got the mitts on. He's zipped up in the sleeping bag, and he's.
Does he still have to do that?
I think so. I don't think that. Yeah. I don't think that like goes away. You know, I don't think the risk of it.
Yeah,
I don't think they've innovated any treatments for that. It's pretty wild.
Yeah,
get on that science.
Strapping him down like a werewolf every night. You know?
Is America ready for a werewolf president?
Well, there you go. Tonight could be the night. You gotta be careful, you know. Mm-hmm.
I feel like a werewolf president would be cool because they'd probably be like really.
They'd be like Teen Wolf. It'd be sick. Think about how cool Teen Wolf was.
They'd be cool like Teen Wolf, so they'd play basketball and stuff. I just feel like they'd be really cool about trans rights because they're like, yes, I know about transformation. You know,
yeah.
They'd be down with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're ready. I think it's time.
Carefully scheduled press conferences. The lunar calendar would never be more important to how everything was planned. But they're like, we're going to have to wait.
We need a president who respects the lunar calendar. Just time.
Just having like diplomatic summits and just repeatedly rescheduling until there's a full moon. So you can just go in there and clean house. Sorry, we can't make it. We have to wait until tomorrow. It's like, oh, when there's a waxing gibbous? I don't think so, pal.
Yeah.
Gibbous.
Gibbous. Yeah. Isn't it gibbous?
Gibbous? Gibbous.
Is it gibbous? I don't know.
What the fuck?
Take that.
I don't think I've ever heard
stay out of Bushwick, gibbous bitch. Before.
No moon knowledge. Your moon knowledge is lacking.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're lucky you're off the dating apps, Patty.
What do you think What do you think the sales numbers are on Farmer's Almanacs these days? Gotta be down. Gotta not be doing Gotta great be as an industry. Should we do numbers?
Let's do numbers.
Number 5.
Gibbous also means having a hump, humpbacked. So that's something I just learned looking that up.
Gonna file that away for my next very esoteric insult.
Who's
to
that?
Somebody.
Who's that gibbous fellow at the top of the tower?
That's some real Giamatti and the Holdovers insult stuff. That's the real arcane stuff.
Haven't seen that yet. Heard it's good.
It's delightful. Okay, number 5 comes to us from the average Grinksby in the Discord, and this is a story from. The World of Cruises, the people were expecting to go on a cruise earlier in December, you know, like a kind of a Christmas week cruise to the sunny Bahamas from New York to the Bahamas. The MSC Meraviglia is the name of the ship. 7-day cruise to the Bahamas.
MSC Mike Birbiglia.
MSC Mike Birbiglia.
Captain.
Sweet Captain Mike Birbiglia.
And so the day before it was supposed to depart, the cruise ship alerted passengers. The itinerary had been changed from the Bahamas to, and it was bad weather is the reason. Where do we think that you'd go if there's bad weather? You know, you're trying to find something kind of analogous. You know, hey, we'll still give you guys a good trip, you know, if you want
to. Tortuga. We're going to Tortuga.
We're going to see Captain Jack Sparrow in Tortuga. Yeah. No, they went to Boston, Maine, and Canada. Those were the places that they went instead. We're going colder.
North Pole. We're going to Antarctica.
We're
going to
go interrupt his ass. Yeah. He's a busy guy.
Busiest week, but we got nowhere else to go.
Guys, I don't have time for this. I can't do like a whole thing right now. Okay. I got to get in there. We got so many iPads we got to make. You don't understand how complicated this is. All kids want now is iPad. I got nothing.
No guests. No guests this week. So, yeah, no one has the right clothes on this.
That's
cruise.
A problem.
You can't even go out on the deck.
Right. I mean, it was the day before. Now, the day before is not long enough for somebody who like flew to New York and to embark. Right. I mean, if you're not from the area, and that's because obviously if you're like from the Midwest or something, there's no like natural cruise port. Like you're going to leave, you know, from Chicago. We'll go all the way up and through, and then we'll, you know, mm-hmm. so Yeah, kind of sucks for those people. They did offer, I believe, they said the guests could cancel free of charge and receive a future cruise credit. Again, that does not help people that flew already to New York, although they're in New York, I guess, for a few days at that point.
Not the worst.
But the only alternative the cruise company said was it would have been totally canceling the cruise and everyone's vacation. No one gets to go anywhere. It's complex. It makes sense. It'd be complex to find new, you know, berths and things like that. So
this is like the weighing the options of, do I want to go to Maine or do I want to go nowhere?
Right.
What do I pick? I like Maine, but I don't know if I like Maine in, you know, December 18th or something.
Maybe this is just their way of like getting everyone to cancel without them having to cancel and whatever that incurs on them, on their business. Mm. Or he's like, they're like, look, we're doing it, but we're going to Boston. Now it's your choice.
That's really like shooting the moon, you know? That's like the social equivalent of trying to shoot the moon, where it's like, if anyone doesn't cancel, this will be the most unpleasant event, but hopefully everyone will fold. I've raised the stakes.
Yeah.
No, I'll get out.
I guess it's like act of God stuff. Of course, it's like, you know, you can't predict bad weather, I guess. I mean, limited amount. But like, I feel like with a boat, you should have been prepared for some level of bad weather. Like, unless it is like a hurricane or something, I feel like you should be like, well, yeah, there's storms on the sea. Like, is that new to you that you're like, well, we might hit some thunderstorms? It's like,
I mean,
well, yeah,
I think this happens
there
fairly regularly with cruises. It's usually not like a total diversion, but like, I don't know. I've been on the TikTok of, there's this 9-month cruise that people are on, and they've been like posting TikTok videos of it and stuff. And like, they had to, like, one of their first stops they had to just miss because the weather was bad and they couldn't dock, so they just had to like keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
no, they're just sailors now. They're just bad. They're lazy
just
sailors
on the high seas.
You know, it's like it's one of those things where it's like, well, there's a question of whether it's safe just sort of overall for the ship. Also, like, as a cruise attendee, are you really going to want to be like being thrown up into the ceiling of your cabin repeatedly and throwing up all over the place? You know what I mean? Like,
that's what you signed up for.
Up and down. Like, is that really what you want? Yeah. Like, I'm
ping-ponging
going. We're going
around your tiny cabin.
Right.
Yeah. Being thrown around the hallway while you try to hang an upside down pineapple on your door so people can fuck your wife. I just learned about that and I am fascinated.
I
didn't realize that was such a big thing on cruises. I knew about like the pineapple thing of that being like a signal, a sign mm-hmm. that you're a swinger, which like it's interesting the generational like conceptions of like, because those people, they're not polyamorous. They are swingers. They are like, that is an identity. It is different. I feel like there are not a lot of millennial swingers. Like that's not what they... That's not really the mode of it, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't realize, I knew about the pineapple thing, I didn't realize that was like a big feature of cruises, is that there's a lot of those people around.
I feel like
each other's
that
lives.
Like above a certain age, like, I don't know, it feels kind of like Buffett adjacent almost, although it's not clear where that subculture is going, you know, at this point.
It's like QAnon. It's like their leader is gone. So what do they do now?
I had a lot of fun at the Buffett concert we went to. I enjoy the music, you know, and the people are all very nice, but there is like there's definitely like a sex element to it that I would have preferred there not be there, considering sort of the average age. And that's not fair because it's like, well, you don't just like,
it's their space.
Everything doesn't just like shrivel up and drop off when you hit like 50 or something. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people are allowed to, you know, but it's just like, maybe. So the cruise thing just feels kind of like sort of adjacent to that in some way to me. Like the people who are really into cruises, it's not surprising they would be, you know, that would be maybe
also
kind
into
of similar.
Cruising.
Similar.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it just made cruises make a lot more sense because I was like, I felt like they're doing something on there. They're not telling us. Like, nobody loves shuffleboard this much.
I think even like from a, and I haven't been on one, so I don't know, but even from like a setting aside like the sex element, there's something about like a sort of like the single serving friend, to quote like a Fight Club thing, you know, somebody that you're like, you pal around with for a week or something. And then it's like, well, mm-hmm. have a nice life. You know what I mean? Or what, you know, I don't know. That seems like kind of like there's like an appeal to that to me a little bit.
Yeah.
I
can definitely see the appeal. I don't think it would be my preferred way to travel, but, I don't know. I feel like people are very harsh on people who like cruises. And it's like, I kind of get it. I don't know.
I also feel like
it's cool. You get to go to different places. Like,
right. Yeah. I'm just, and it's like, you know, you get to go just enough. It's like a festival set. You know what I mean? It's like you play all the stuff. Yeah. It's 40 minutes. You don't have to go to a whole show, you know, and you get to just kind of sample places, which is, I would imagine, nice. Environmentally, there's all kinds of issues and all that kind of stuff. But hey, you know.
Sure. It's gross. Whatever. You're all going to get
could be the
diarrhea.
Piss cruise. Yeah. Norovirus situation.
Everyone has giardia. Yeah.
Swingers with diarrhea. Not ideal.
Well, depends.
It's really not.
We just got to power
one
through.
One guy's
we just
like,
gotta, we've been waiting for this all year. We just got to power through this. All right.
My kink.
We'll take breaks.
Yeah. And then I don't know if you did you guys see that TikTok that was going around of the woman on a cruise who was like, here's how to like make your cruise hotel room safe. And she fully like zombie proofs her whole room. It's crazy. She's like, you tuck a towel behind the door handle. You like lock this, lock that. And I get like making sure for some stuff. But there's like it stops right before you put a shotgun with dental floss like in front of the door. And for me, I was just like, this is the worst place to commit a crime, though, because you're trapped here.
Can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
We talked about performative cleanliness a few episodes ago. I feel like there's also sort of performative safety stuff on social media, and I feel like that is very much what that is, where it's like, this is all entirely unnecessary, and you probably wouldn't do it if you weren't making a TikTok, unless you have like serious psychological problems where like your anxiety is out of control.
Except
but
problems on TikTok. I don't think that's possible. That doesn't sound right.
My friend quote tweeted that video and just said, "I guess you don't have to worry about being murdered if you die in a fire." And I was like, "Yeah, that's pretty much your airtight room that you cannot escape makes it might be a problem."
But Kath, the boat will put itself out. It's on the water.
It's in water. It's fine.
That's true.
Doesn't make any sense.
Damn.
Yeah.
Makes you
the only exception is that other guy who just does like weird fake TikToks of like he pretends to do some security thing on his door and then he goes, because you never know. And then the comments, he gets everybody every time. And people are like, what? What is this doing? So it's just him like taping a Twix to like the crack of a door. And he's like, if the Twix is broken, it means someone came in your room. It's very good. I feel like that's a Shelby video. I feel like Shelby is aware of this guy.
Shelby's got a Twix taped to his door. It breaks every time we go over to record.
Yeah, I put a Kit Kat on there. You hear that snap. You hear those wafers crackle. I'm
that's
up and ready to fight.
Thing, because then we each get a little Kit Kat bar.
Yeah, you tape it to the door on the break, and then instead of you simply share a candy bar with your possible assailant.
You just you put a bag of Sun Chips on the ground, and if they step on it, you'll be jolted awake.
It's funny, you'll be deafened. You'll suffer hearing loss.
The whole building will be woken up.
Your assailant will be temporarily deafened.
Yeah, right.
It's
like a concussive grenade to them.
Yeah, somebody in like a zombie movie diving out from behind a convenience store shelf and throwing a bag of Sun Chips out just explodes. All the zombies are shredded to pieces.
Thrown back into the hall. Just by the force of sound. Yeah, so these people got to go to Boston. You know, you're on island time now, kid. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what. You know, again, is it really worth being what I assume would be completely miserable? I mean, it's definitely in whatever you signed, the terms of service. They have like a, what's it called? A common carriage. I think it's called
a
common
fuck
carriage.
Fuck you clause.
Or contract of carriage.
If shit goes wrong, you're fucked.
And it's basically just like, well, we'll take you somewhere. That's all we're promising.
You will be going somewhere. So yeah.
We'll go around the block for 7 days.
I think it'd be cool to take a cruise and bring an old-timey steamer trunk with you instead of a suitcase. Be one of the, like, you have to have like a bunch of dock hands carry up an old-time.
There's a definite Dracula in there or something.
Dracula boat.
Somebody's in there. Bodies in
just
there.
Trying to cancel my cruise frantically before it disembarks when I see Poirot walking on board. Oh, come on!
Yeah, being moved on to do the Demeter, unfortunately. Rerouted
the
onto
Voyage of the Demeter, but on like a carnival cruise would be a good movie.
I'm not trying to go on a voyage on the Demeter, much less the last voyage of the Demeter.
Really, any voyage I'm trying to stay away from.
The last voyage. Like, the what? Hang on. Can we? Whoa. Is it too late to,
Not a good holiday plan.
Again, apparently in that movie, they confront the vampire at night. That's it. Was it you that said that, Eli? That's like the big,
I don't think so, but I do remember
that's
that
all of
coming
the big
up.
Set pieces are at night, and it's like, guys, you got to think about this a little bit here.
Seems like there's a very easy solution. You huck that shit over once the sun comes up.
I mean, I'm not saying that like they're oh right, it's a Dracula. Like obviously the idea is that they don't know, but it's like I don't know. Maybe you like you know don't like make your stand in the nighttime. It's like well, it probably can't see us as well. Or it's like I don't know. Even assuming it's not something that dies in the sun doesn't seem like the smartest idea. It won't be yeah. ready.
That is a decision that you sort of have to make in your horror story involving like a some kind of monster cryptid ghoul situation is like, does this take place in a universe where people have stories about this thing? Or is this it like, is the concept of a Dracula like known in this world or is it not? Or yeah. like, do we know what a zombie is? Do we know what a werewolf is? Or is this brand new information to these people? Because I feel like that does kind of change... like, do they know the rules of this or not?
We call them walkers. That's the name we came up with. It's really cool. Season 15 of show number 3. They're called walkers.
Yeah, that thing's been going for fucking ever, huh? It will never end.
Keep shuffling along. That's part of the... See, The Walking Dead... The Walking Dead is actually the show. It's the premise. That's...
Ayo.
You can't say anything these days. We not give a raw
claw. Hell yeah. Do you guys know that guy? M.R.
No. Oh,
the white British guy who is a reggae performer. He's a white British man.
We not give a F. Okay. Yep.
Let's do number 4.
Number 4.
Number 4 comes to us from MXC Hammer 326. Very good alteration of the variation on a classic there. Love
Let's
it.
Go.
by the way, if you would like to submit stories to us, you can join our Patreon at the $10 a month level, patreon.com/whatatimepod. Get access to our private Discord channels where you can submit stories like this one. As a slave to Sephora, I've been following this story a little bit. It's very funny to me. So there's sort of an interesting phenomenon happening at Sephora right now where almost everyone in there is a child now. I mean, like, younger girls have always been, like, interested in makeup and stuff, but I feel like their main purchasers now are, like, 12-year-olds. And there are, like, 3 or 4 brands that they love. And one of them is called Sol de Janeiro, and they make like tropical smelling lotions and like body sprays and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this story is about one of their lotions called Sol de Janeiro Delicia Drench Body Butter. And I guess it's sort of vanilla-y smelling. They all kind of smelled the same to me. I'm not a fan, but this one has special attractive powers. Unfortunately, not the kind that the purchasers may be looking for. This is not, you know, this is no pheromone perfume. It's not driving men crazy. It might be driving wolf spiders crazy. That's what's happening here. This lotion has several reviews. One like main one, but I think there have been a few others, I think. This is a 1-star review, all caps, headline, scent attracts wolf spiders, all caps. If you're scared of wolf spiders, watch out for these lotions. I wanted to love them so bad, but one of the ingredients is like kryptonite to wolf spiders. That's not how kryptonite works. It's not attractive to Superman. He's not.
This guy can't be
in
a certain way.
Go toward it.
He's like, ooh, dangerous. How intriguing.
I wish if this lotion was kryptonite to wolf spiders, I would be cool with it. If they sold me a delicious smelling spider repelling body lotion, I'd buy that.
Mm-hmm.
This person says, when I put it on, instantly one will come out. Normally I'll see one every 3 years. Use this and it was every day. I stopped using it and haven't seen one since. Oh, and one time, the spider wanted to eat whatever ingredient it is so bad that it chased me. I swear on everything. It was legit following the scent, and no, the scent isn't that good. Nothing a $5 vanilla cream can't match. So yeah, do be careful if you're frightened of spiders. Oh, this is nice. Please don't hurt them if you do wear this and they come out. Use a cup and put them outside. Aw, she's not mad at them.
They're coming right back in if you smell like, you know, spider food or whatever.
Yeah, keep them in the cup until you shower and get the stuff off you, and then you can take him outside. He'll stay outside.
Just leave the cup.
I also want to shout out, I think we've had Sam Ruddy on the show before, right? Haven't we?
We had her on our live shows, I think. I don't know, but I don't remember.
Well, friend of the show, regardless, Sam Ruddy, is kind of the one who broke this story. So Sam posted, they're doing spider science on the Sephora Reddit. And there are a bunch of posts that are like, oh, yeah, I actually used this lotion and I got bit by a wolf spider recently and I didn't make the connection. So, yeah apparently this is a real problem.
First of all, so, I feel like you should give it 2 stars because it did what it said it was going to do. It just also did something else. You'd like 2 stars, like smells like what I thought, but spider stuff. Subtract 3 stars for the spider stuff. Give it 1 back because it's like, look, it smells like vanilla or whatever. I don't think being overpriced is anything new for them.
That's pretty normal.
I think the more upsetting thing here for anyone, whether you're wearing this lotion or not, is that it's just revealing that there are wolf spiders near you, like all the time. Like,
right.
They're around. They're just not out.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just seeing how many. I think I saw one too where somebody said they tested it by putting like the lotion on a tissue and leaving it out. And it like, they just flocked to it. And it's just like, yeah. I mean, I just don't want to know how many wolf spiders live in my apartment in general.
I think about that a lot just because I live in like a big old building that definitely has bug problems. But I'm like very aggressive about treating, like, my apartment doesn't really have bugs, but like I know the building does, and every once in a while if I like lapse on my like pretty stringent bug repellent regimen, I'll see them, and it's like, oh yeah, they're like in the walls, like they're around, they're just not coming in because they know this is not a safe zone for them, but like they're there, they're definitely lurking, you know.
I mean, we've established what'll happen if they show up, so they stay in the walls, and that's a working relationship that we have to work
right.
with. You know, it's like, all right, just don't come out of the walls.
We're at a
detente. I can't get in there.
You can stay in the wall. Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll put some stuff up there, some cool foods. Put grapes in there, you know, so it'll be fine.
I just imagine there's like one giant, like mothership, huge cockroach, like in the foundation, like below, that they're all receiving orders from.
Yeah, the ant king is down there. That's
right.
Gregor Samson.
It's just like
there.
As big as like a loaf of bread or something, and it's like in charge. It's in charge of all of them.
We all know what it looks like. It's the kind of laying on its back, and it has a big glowing orb for a belly, and it's gestating. Some sort of hybrid creature in there. You got to let it come out, you know? You got to let them do it. Leave them alone. That's their apartment. In the walls is the bug's apartment.
That's
where
they
live.
Live and let live. Mm-hmm. We were told when we had Exterminator come, you know, every so often that getting a dog is good because, like, having a animal that they interpret as a predator kind of around and all the time walking around, like, sort of discourages them, you know, even more than just people walking around and making noise. Because it's not like they, like, are like, oh, there's people in there, let's get in there, you know, as much as we assume they want to get in your mouth, which they do. It's like they want it to be quiet so they can kind of go check everything out. So if it's never quiet because somebody's always up there.
I think that's true. Like, you'd think that they would be like really into a litter box, but I've never ever seen any around there. And I think it's because they're like, this is a scary animal. We don't like this. This is not what we want.
Yeah. Another advantage of constantly playing lo-fi beats in your apartment is that they're like, oh, well, we can't come out now. Something's happening. These chill lo-fi beats mean that there's a creature working, studying, focusing in this apartment. We can't go out. Also,
they're studying and chilling. We can't make our appearance.
Too lo-fi up there.
Yeah, there's probably a cat on the windowsill. but also, I would like to say how much I dislike the use of the word drench in this body butter name.
Yeah.
That's just needlessly kind of visceral for me.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I don't know what they're going with there. Delicia drench.
Feels more like an over-application, you know? That's not... It's more of a you thing than in the formulation of the body butter if you're
like
drenching yourself
in it. I mean,
it's
pretty... it's pretty profitable for them to encourage people to overuse it, you know. Mm-hmm. That's like, that's how they're making their money.
Yeah, use one tin, rub in. Yeah. Empty tin on head, let it drizzle down you and replace.
That's like, that's my conspiracy theory with like, it's very trendy right now to be very to have your skin be very sort of like wet looking, like there it's called like glass skin. It's you're supposed to be sort of like, or like like glazed donut skin. You're supposed to be very shiny, and to me I think that's just they want you to use more fucking lotion so they can sell you more lotion. Put it all on your face.
Turns
a little
out
does not go a long way.
Yeah,
be wet all the time.
I'm so fashionable all summer long. The pate of my head, the shiny bald yeah. pate of my head is the height of skincare.
You're dewy. Your bald head is dewy.
Dewy bald head.
This is just the long tail of the long gestating influence of Dad Boner on Twitter, who always used to talk about the wet look, like, you know, 10 years ago or whenever that was still popular.
Yeah. It's very in. The wet look is very in.
Wasn't that Glossier's whole thing? It was just like, look wet. Everybody in our ads looks wet. Wasn't that their thing?
That was
for a
definitely
while?
A part of it. Yeah, these are like adjacent sort of things.
People have spoken.
Look like
man.
You have like, a membrane. That's right. What you want.
You gotta look like slime. You gotta look slimy. Yeah.
When I think of a modern skincare ad, like the first thing I think is like kind of like glistening blonde mustache hairs. Like I feel like that's a big part of it. Just like wet peach fuzz, and they're like, "This is the move." Like, all right, well, do whatever.
I mean, I fall for it a little bit, so I can't be too mean about it. But if you think about it, it really does look like you have a membrane.
Yeah.
It's not.
And also, I feel like if you came in looking all dewy, I wouldn't let you sit on my couch. I'd be like, you're going to get Delicia drench all over my couch. Just you have to stand up. If you look like that, you got to stand up during the Super Bowl. You're not sitting anywhere. Mm. You're too wet.
I mean, the alternative to this was sort of the like 2016-ish which was being very matte, being very like heavy makeup that was dry.
The dry like, look.
The dry look. The dry look. And then you can't let that person sit on your couch because they're going to get makeup on it.
Yeah.
Like that was like so much makeup you couldn't wear light colored clothes because it would like get on your clothes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's I mean,
it's
this
like
is
drag
all...
queens always commend if a drag queen is wearing white, the other drag queens are like, that is a feat. That is like incredible stuff because. Mm-hmm. There's so much stuff on us when we do this. It gets everywhere.
It's impossible not to bleed off. Yeah, I mean, it's fashion is circular, right? So it'll be in to be ashy soon. It'll be like, got to be as ashy as possible. It'll look like a photo of the salt flats, just crackling. Yeah. Look like a goddamn lizard man. That's crackling. What I'm waiting for. Yeah. Is your elbow bleeding? That's very in. You're so dry.
This is the New York, I mean, I'm not surprised that the New York Post comments on this are stupid, but they're really stupid. Like, this one person wrote, these women are idiots. I use shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, body butter, perfume every day. Not a single spider. Okay.
Not a single person either, you stinky motherfucker.
Yeah, you're too smelly, man.
Yeah, what the
Tone
hell?
Tone it down.
You're sort of, it's a real pot kettle situation the second you're logging into with your Facebook on NewYorkPost.com or whatever to leave this slam.
No spiders
there's also,
bite your Yankee candle ass.
User Hillary Squirts in a Bathtub. That's their that's their name. I wish you could all see the face Patty is making. Hillary Squirts in a Bathtub thinks this is a marketing ploy. Thinks this is the company trying to get free advertising. It's like typical branding. They're like, here we are. We attract spiders. Check us out. Like, what an insane theory.
That's a great kind of person because that's like having that kind of mindset about like anything that any company does. Like they're just trying to get publicity. It's like, okay, yep, you got it.
I can't believe you missed the most important commenter of all. The movie Crank's Chev Chelios has commented.
Oh, cool.
Saying you had me at body butter. Giggling emoji. Surprised he had time to calm him up with his heart needing to be at a high beat rate at all times. Yeah,
he can't be putting on body butter. That's too relaxing. Yeah. That's way too relaxing an activity for him. Can't be doing that.
Once again, Chev Chelios. Just doing
Chev Chelios. Musical guest. Terrible.
Yeah, combo musical guest host, Chev Chelios.
Hey, everybody. If you're enjoying this regular episode, I bet you'd also enjoy our bonus episode available on our Patreon at patreon.com/whatatimepod. For $5 a month, you get hundreds of episodes, including this one, in which you're not going to believe it, but I got some bones to pick with New Year's parties.
We also talk about our year-end best-ofs, our favorite books, movies, TV shows, all kinds of stuff, our favorite things from 2023.
And we also talk about our resolutions for 2024, the things we are definitely going to do, and we can't wait to get started doing them. So patreon.com/whatatimepod. Check it out.
Let's do number three.
Number three this week comes to us from My Bussy and Me, a classic contributor. You know, for, I think, fairly, Spirit Airlines gets a lot of flack thrown their way for being a bad, miserable, shitty airline that's awful. And if they keep doing stuff like this, no one is going to stop. This is going to set you back, you set your PR back hugely, which is that Spirit Airlines, there is a six-year-old first-time flyer, the unaccompanied child on the plane, which... necessary, but still kind of wild choice. Always, it's always very weird. When
I
you
can't
see
believe
one of those...
people did that when, like, we were kids. Like, when cell phones weren't around, people would do that.
Yeah.
That's so wild to me. I mean, I know sometimes you have to, but, like, oh my god, you're yeah. just
I did
sending
that every
your
year.
Child into the ether.
Shelby did it.
Shelby,
every
you
year.
Did it every year. Did you ever get lost? Did anything ever happen?
Did you ever get taken?
Did you get Taken? The movie Taken?
Shelby,
did you have an address pinned to your lapel?
Yeah, Shelby had a bandolier.
They make you wear like a little plastic thing.
Yeah,
they put you in a bubble. Yeah,
he's got a bandolier of Fruitopias, just in case anything goes bad. Because like in like the 90s, it's like, oh yeah, the kid's just gone. Like that's it.
It's gone.
Like, we don't know where the kid is. You know. Oh well. Best of luck. Yeah.
It's like sending your kid with FedEx when packages are getting stolen. That's what it's like.
They used to, very early on in the post office, they didn't have like their rules all good. And people would, like, not in a box, but they would send their kid to like their grandmother's. And it just meant that because it wasn't clearly defined, like a mailman would like just drive the kid to their grandmother's. And then they were like, you can't do this.
That's
this
sick.
Is not how this works.
They need to bring that back.
Yeah. I always loved kind of like, it's weird. Like when you would see one of those kids get on your plane that was like unaccompanied and obviously they have kind of like a little entourage, doesn't it kind of feel like they're like the prophesied one? It always felt like they were some sort of like ancient, you know, or they're like,
they're
this
chosen,
is the most
yeah.
important child in the world. You know,
like it's like Kundun.
Them. Yeah. Like they're flying them to, you know, complete some sort of ancient ritual. But Spirit Airlines, good thing that they did not need to complete any ancient ritual with this child because they sent the child to the wrong place.
How wrong?
Yeah, where were they going?
I mean, there's not a lot of acceptable sort of, you know,
yeah,
close enough is not good enough. But I mean,
Patty,
still.
I just noticed you're wearing a Michael Clayton hat.
That's true.
Sick.
Thank you.
Was this a Christmas gift? That's a great hat.
No, I've had it for a bit. Whitney got one for each of us. It's
nice.
Yeah, you know,
right.
We have our yearly Clayton watch. I mean, I probably watch it more than once a year, but New Year's Day as we watch Michael Clayton and R.I.P. Tom Wilkinson, R.I.P. to Arthur.
Yeah. I just watched it like last week because I was knitting and I was like, I want something I know really well, but can still enjoy like kind of not looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And it fit the bill.
There's your excellent balance.
Film. Mm-hmm. Apologies to the person who DM'd me a Michael Clayton joke on Twitter. I have still never seen it. You spun the wheel and landed on probably the only one of us that doesn't understand what's happening.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no. It's not like crazy wrong, but like you said, I mean, it's not like the kid can rent a fucking car and drive to the right airport. he was supposed to the
6 years old, right?
Yeah. Supposed to fly from Philadelphia to Southwest Florida International in Fort Myers. But instead, okay, they were, and I love when they just use these words, when like somebody knows they fucked up and they just start using like more procedural words for what they did as if that makes it not bad. So they say they were incorrectly boarded. And it's like, oh, that's a interesting way to say.
You put them on the wrong plane.
Yeah, you put them on the wrong plane. Like, it's not.
It's very, very cop language. Like, it's like
passive.
totally like. Completely, yeah. Like, oh, it just happened. No one is responsible.
They were boarded.
Right.
Yeah.
Child experienced inaccurate transportation by our company. No, you fucking sent them to the wrong place. So they sent the kid to Orlando, which if you're a kid, that's where fucking Disneyland or World is, right?
You're
so,
having a better Christmas than fucking Fort Myers.
Give
no
the kid,
thanks.
Yeah, give the kid a fucking fast pass. Let him go nuts. So, yeah, this is also like, they're just trying to cover their ass so bad. Like, the child was always under the care and supervision of a Spirit team member. Well, maybe that wasn't good enough because they went to the wrong place.
Sounds like the Spirit team member could have been like, hey, what flight are we on right now?
Yeah, did the Spirit team member go to the wrong place too? Like, how did this... Dude.
That tracks with Spirit so well of having the person who's accompanying a minor go, where are we going? what flight is this? What gate? So as soon as they discovered the error, we took immediate steps to communicate with the family and reconnect them.
They do that.
This is just stuff you have to do. Like, you're not getting credit because you're like, well, we told the parents. So it's like, yeah.
What do
otherwise,
you want from us?
Kidnapping.
We told the parents.
Shelby, when you say they do that, do you mean do you get like one person that goes with you the whole time? Do you have continuity? Is there a like chain of possession of the unaccompanied minor, or do they hand you off?
Yeah,
because I'm wondering if there's like a mistaken hand.
You get like a body man.
You get the man on fire guy.
Yeah, you get Creasy, an alcoholic, washed up foreign legion veteran. Who finds new purpose with you.
You get handed off several times and none of them want to do it.
Shelby's
reluctantly passed between unrelated adults.
What does that do for your self-esteem as a child? I'd be like, eight people clearly didn't like me today.
Like I threw up again.
Shelby getting escorted cross-country by the Equalizer.
Oh, yeah.
They need like a Tony Hale and Veep to like be the bag man for the child.
Yeah, juice. Yeah. Just handing you a juice, just like ready with a juice at all times.
Yeah,
I mean, this isn't like Home Alone 2. This happens because like they just like slam into like the gate agent and all the tickets go flying everywhere and they're like, oh fuck, just board them, just get on, whatever. You know what I mean? Like that, even that is like, I don't know about this, but
stretches the, yeah.
But there was pre-9/11, blah, 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 you know, but I mean, like, I don't see, you have a thing that you scan, presumably, like, the, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, like,
right.
Yeah, like, where are you going? Like, what? Boy, oh boy.
I wonder if they do, like, tracking now, like, for,
Put an air tag on this kid.
Yeah. I want to be clear too. Orlando and Fort Myers, it's like over 3 hours
it's not
away
that
from
close.
Each other by car. It's not that close. And again, as Eli said, the kid can't rent a car and drive there.
Yeah.
He's 6 years old.
Way off. 19 years short, unfortunately.
Yes. He has to wait in Orlando for 19 years and then he can finally escape.
I live here now.
Yeah. He called, and so they called the grandma. He was visiting his grandma. And then he called her and said that he had landed 160 miles away. And I think this is a very reasonable request from the grandmother that Spirit so far, I guess, has not acquiesced to, which said, she said, I want them to call me and let me know how my grandson ended up in Orlando. How did that happen?
Incorrectly boarded, ma'am.
Yeah. Ma'am, yeah. It was just a breakdown in communication. It's like, yeah, you can describe how it happened as many times as you want. You still just have to admit that you flew a kid to the wrong city.
Sorry. Well, it was Spirit. So, you know, if you want the kid to go to the right place, that costs an extra $40, right? Seems like the obvious joke.
You got to pay the going where you asked to go fee.
Yeah.
It's part of it.
It's good. I love Spirit. I love feeling the frame of a chair through the padding.
Oh, sorry. Did you want a destination assignment? Sorry. That's not how we have to pay extra for that.
It's like the cruises. It's like, we'll take you somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Promise to take you somewhere.
Look, we're not the most accurate airline, but we'll get within 300 miles or so of wherever you want to go. It's like putting in New York area, New York area airports, and they're like, Delaware? It's in the area. Yeah.
But... You will pay as much as your flight costs in tolls getting to New York City. But
now, here's another one from today. I just, because it was in the related stories. 16-year-old flying solo on Frontier Airlines ends up in Puerto Rico instead of Ohio. That's really not close.
Hell yeah.
Nice, but, dude.
That rocks.
Again, these airlines, it's not like it's not the airlines you'd expect. You know what I mean? It's like, yep, okay, you know, yep.
Yeah.
I could see it.
This is like a Miami University of Ohio type mistake.
Yeah.
I think
the University
of
California,
Pennsylvania. You're going to San Juan, Ohio, and you end up in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. I would say, I think Luke Munoz has like an adjacent bit to this, but it's like, I don't like how panicked airlines are allowed to seem all the time. Like, just as a business, they should seem more on top of stuff than they are. They never seem prepared for anything.
No, like, they're always surprised when they have sold the same seat multiple times and then, oops, too many people are here. How could we let this happen?
Yeah, I think that's the Luke Munoz thing where he's like, we didn't think you were all going to show up, so... Who wants to publicly out themselves as having nothing going on? yeah, but I mean, the kid is fine, relatively.
He made
I mean,
it.
In the scale of the universe and life is
I
fine.
I mean, it's like.
Did Spirit like pay to ship him to Fort Myers?
Yeah.
They
got him a crate with holes in it and they put it on the back of a like an open bed pickup truck and they drove. Yeah, I mean, they offered to reimburse the cost. I mean, they fucking have to, right? I mean, like.
Oh, wow, $65. Thank you so much.
This is a PR
Spirit thing,
making some grandma drive like, you know, 180 miles to go, both, you know, 360 miles, I guess. To go get grandson for who's visiting for the holidays,
risking her and everyone else's lives. If you have a grandchild, I guess six. She might not be that old. I'm just imagining like making a 95-year-old get on the road.
And every road is a highway down there. It is. Yeah, it's really something. There's it's it can be an adventure. I hope he's enjoying Fort Myers. I hope he's getting some Culver's or something, because that's what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking about Fort Myers. Even though it's not from the area, that's the only place I used to go regularly that has it. So,
is Culver's like chicken fingers? Is that Culver's?
It's burgers, butter burgers,
tendies. Burgers.
It's from I think it's from Wisconsin. It's very cheese based. You know, they have cheese curds and stuff. Delicious.
Nice.
Check it out.
Number two.
Give him some Domino's vouchers.
Yeah.
Number two comes to us from Whitney, my fiance. She found this story and said it was funny and showed it to me. So that's how this came to us. I said, put in the Discord, sign up.
pay me $10 a month. I found out my mom is a Patreon member. I found out over Christmas. She did not tell me that.
No, she hears all the bonuses.
I don't know what her Discord name is. She did not tell me. She said she doesn't listen.
She's I believe we saw earlier. She's Ebenezer Spooge. That's
yep.
That's her. Makes sense.
So, this story is from from Florida, Orange County, Florida, which I'm not sure where I don't know what county that is. What's in that county? But doesn't matter. It's a lady was at work, and she came home from work, and her driveway was gone. Somebody took the slab of concrete, and now there's just dirt, like where a driveway would be, in front of this lady's house. This lady's house is for sale currently. You know, somebody basically like apparently this happens more than you think, I guess, that the real estate agent said she's had multiple people come forward saying they've seen things like this happen, whether it be driveways, roofs, or painting. Painting is insane. I don't know how you steal paint off when it's already been applied to something.
Like chips?
That's even crazier than driveway. Driveway seems crazy to me, but paint.
Is there some kind of device that I'm not aware of that would convert it back to liquid off of the siding? Like crazy.
there's a big scrap paint.
Paint isn't expensive enough to be
part market.
Yeah.
Doing processes too.
It's hard. Damn. It's hard
also,
to say.
Someone stealing a slab, have they looked into Ramses, the mummy? Could he be returning the slab? Maybe is this possible?
Maybe that's who stole it.
Failing to report seeing Ramses outside her house at night, begging her to return it.
Return the driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah, the driveway was stolen from outside of a pyramid, actually. That was how. That was where they parked. So,
so this is a she got the money in a GoFundMe, but she was out like 10 grand, basically, I guess. Apparently, like the way this happened, and it's very strange, but according to the GoFundMe here, a week after she listed her home, she started to get phone calls and people visited the home trying to measure the driveway and state that they were sent by a landlord to replace the driveway. So I guess she, like, probably told them to fuck off. I don't know. I mean, it's like, what are you talking about? What landlord? What are you talking about? Like, you know, whatever.
So she owns the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
the driveway is landlord. You own the house, you rent the driveway.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she got a Ring, you know, Ring doorbell notification or whatever that there was like a bulldozer or some kind of equipment ripping the driveway up, and then it was just gone when she got back.
Ring doorbell. Motion detected. It's a bulldozer.
I guess there were five. The lady's son said there were a total of five different contractors came by to measure the driveway. So this is a real hot. This driveway, people could not wait to get their hands on this, apparently.
Write it down.
Treasure under this or something?
Is there treasure in it? Like, is the treasure, was the treasure, like, you know, dropped into it before it hardened? Like, I truly don't.
It had a gold-plated driveway.
Right.
Like, it was a real mistake.
I feel foolish for even engaging with this, like, line of questioning, but it's like, in some world, I'd be like, okay, they, like, pulled it up and then, like, put it in front of a different house or something. But if you're bulldozing it, it's just chipped out. Like, you're not, how do you even?
Right. Like, it's like stealing paint. It's like, you can't lift it all off in one piece and then reuse it. Right?
Yeah, right.
And
does this lady just have enemies? I would just be like, does anybody hate you?
messing with my stuff? Like, what? Yeah.
There are clearly levels to, like, material scams that we don't understand. Like, this requires some, like, second or third order thinking of how someone could benefit from this that we just, like, do not have access to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to see. There's no comments on this website, unfortunately, on the local news site. So,
Hillary squirts in a bathtub isn't weighing in?
doesn't have anything to say.
If anyone makes that their display name, I will ban you. I don't want you. I will not take your money.
You're not allowed
to listen.
Like,
I'm not kidding. It's not worth your $10 a month.
Yeah, because it's not that funny on our Discord. It's very funny on the New York Post website.
Right.
It's a context issue.
Because it's also, like, being said, like, through, like, the angriest face ever with, like, a smile. You
right.
know what I mean?
Just,
it's like, I hate her so much. Just like, yep, you got to make sure
The person writing those comments has steam coming out of their ears. Beat red, yeah.
I've never stopped
choo choo train whistle
about this person.
Gaskets absolutely blown, decimated.
Yeah.
So I'm looking. Anyway. I'm seeing like what's. I'm looking on Reddit now, and it was like an old, cracked up concrete driveway. It's just like I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, the people on Reddit think that she's in on it somehow or something.
Inside job.
That makes the most sense. Like,
oh, sure.
But I don't know what the spot price on concrete is or even how to check that. I don't think I could see like a line graph of like concrete prices over the last 5 years, but it's simply...
They don't make them like this anymore. They don't make them like this driveway.
Old growth concrete. It's very... You turn it into a table.
It's locally sourced. Yeah, so who knows? This is r/Florida, I guess, is where we're looking right now. She got the GoFundMe money, so she's, you know, assuming that she's not in on it, glad that that happened. We'll get that repaved before you can sell your house, I guess. Don't hire the same guys that stole it.
That's got to be, one of the, like, weirdest GoFundMes. I feel like there's probably a good list somewhere of, like, the most the craziest things people have raised money
for. Imagine trying
to
explain this over the phone, like not 911 or whatever you call, but it's like, all right, they stole my driveway. It's like, they stole what out of your driveway? It's like, no, like they stole
the actual driveway.
They carried my car off to the side, stole the driveway, and then put the car back where it was. Also, why is that not covered by insurance? I mean, I guess because it's insane. But
I think that's
right.
Correct.
You don't have driveway insurance.
Now
sorry,
I do. After this,
you got to get a rider for that. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh well, there's one thing you should check the town for. Is there anybody who sells driveway insurance? Because then these pieces of the puzzle are starting to come together.
Vertical integration. Am I right?
Yeah. Okay, and this is just a last note here. In August, a Georgia man was arrested for allegedly stealing a full wooden porch from his neighbor.
see that? Okay, yeah. The lumber. You know, like I get that.
Not exactly the perfect crime if you are his neighbor. Maybe you know. But anyway, yeah. So maybe this will remain a mystery. Who knows? I guess she's got the money to repave it. So all's well that ends strangely. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Number one?
Number one.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Number one this week. This comes to us from, I mean, all over the place, but specifically in the Discord, New Year, New Compact Prism. I think generally on this podcast, we have a rule where we don't cover stuff that's kind of obviously promotional. Unless it's great, unless it's the best thing that's happened in some time, which this arguably is. This was the introduction of something I didn't know was necessary until this moment, which is an edible mascot. The first edible mascot has been introduced very briefly into the world, only for about, I think, a total of maybe 25 seconds of life, but... that
he was going to go stale, you know? His time on Earth was brief.
Yeah, as soon as he was removed from his wrapper, that's the time is, the clock is ticking.
Although he was a Pop-Tart, and I feel like those do last probably years. I don't know if they ever really go bad.
I just want to say, I did see Chris Stevens from Butt on Twitter did say that he's the first openly edible mascot, which is an important distinction.
It's a good distinction. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's the first mascot that tastes good. Maybe that's, you know, clear.
That
you
we can, know of.
Yeah. It could be. There's that orange. He probably tastes like an orange. You're just not supposed to eat him. Like I said, yeah. But this is, so I like that this is the Pop-Tarts. This is from the end of the Pop-Tarts bowl, which... Yeah, college football bowls have gotten, I mean, the big one is the Mayo Bowl, where somebody gets a cooler of mayonnaise dumped on them for winning, which is...
Really?
Yes. Quite a...
People are trying to throw that game every year.
Yeah, just like, you see how fast people run trying not to get the Gatorade dumped on them? Dude, you have a thing of mayo. I am sprinting. I am breaking land speed records. I think I watched a video.
What time of year is that at? That's also important.
Oh.
If it's in the summer.
Oh, like just happened.
Thankfully the winter, yeah. I might have sent a video to the chat if you watch it. I was watching it. And I was like, I think I would throw up. I think I literally would throw up if they poured that on me.
They water it. They have to water it down so it comes out, right? Like comes out of the thing. Like there's no way. Like
they're maybe just it's shaking just been, the bowl, right, trying to get it out.
Shroomp, like it just lands on you. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they've just been letting it sit for a little while. But
don't like that.
It's gross. But this one is. So now the Pop-Tarts Bowl, which I think I at least have not heard. Pop-Tarts might be new as a sponsor for the bowl. But they had, so they did that part of it, which was like fun. They dumped a bucket of mini Pop-Tarts on his head following the victory, which is fine. A lot of corners. Cover your eyes.
I was going to say, yeah. Oh, God.
Sharp ones. but the big thing here is that they... So it's hard to really, there's so much baseline stuff. So they had a guy dressed as a Pop-Tart who stood on top of and then was lowered into a giant prop toaster. I mean, if we're playing along, it's a real toaster. He's a real Pop-Tart. But, you know, we'll just leave that. Lowered in with so many beautiful details. Lowered in.
He waved goodbye. He was like ready to go.
And
he was receiving this mortal coil.
And held a sign that said, "Dreams really do come true." Implying that death is his ultimate goal. Very responsibly tossed the sign out of the toaster. You don't want a fire risk. Pop-Tart's supposed to be in there. Signs, not so much. So the Pop-Tart was lowered into this big fake toaster. And then I assume, you know, I don't know, maybe this is just a prestige situation and there, you know, maybe there's hundreds of Pop-Tarts under the field that they're actually cooking. But a facsimile of him.
Cooking in vats.
Yeah. A facsimile of him then emerged from the side of the toaster that was made of real Pop-Tart that some of the players then dug their hands into and ate. It was so weird.
It feels like Roman or something. Like, yeah. This would happen at the Colosseum. Especially the guys digging their hands in to eat him. It just seems like a bacchanal or something, you know?
And he's got like a...
Like they retire to the vomitorium, you know, after they've eaten so much of the Pop-Tart man.
The fact that he's got like a little winky face on, it really gets me. Like it's like, I love that I'm dead. I love that I've been cooked.
It was his dream. It's like a... What was that German guy? Armin Muse? Is that him? Where you like... This guy like put out a personal ad that was like, I want someone to eat me. And so it was great. I would love to eat someone. And then they did it. And then the guy got charged with murder because you're not allowed to do that.
You're not allowed. Super not allowed. And so it's, I mean, I love any mascot story that has like so many parallels to Jesus. Just really get him as close to
Jesus
Christmas, as you can.
It's Christmas, you know? I mean, wrong holiday. It should be Easter, but still.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's and then I'm trying to find, or Shelby, I don't know if you had it. I should ask you to pull it up, but I saw a clip at least where the announcer did perfectly what he could do, which is just in, you know, perfect like sports announcer voice, just described it as like, he has lived, he has died, and now he is being eaten and will be born anew. Just giving it like a perfect play-by-play. One of those times you just got it.
They
like,
needed
this
a Pop-Tart Pontius Pilate to condemn him to the toaster or something.
I mean, if you're going to do... And Pop-Tarts, I do... Like, Pop-Tarts has always been good at weird ads because they hired Don Hertzfeld years ago, right? Those are all those weird Pop-Tart ads they did with the little breakdancing guys.
But,
I mean, if there's a way to kind of make it feel less branded is to do something that you can tell a lot of people the brand were like, we don't like this. This is upsetting to us. So
it's very...
hate to like approve of a marketing department or whatever, but like they hit just the right level of weird, you know, like they really went for it and did something extremely strange.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel self-con like they I feel like they hit the right level where it's like, it seems they played it totally sincere, even though it is like the weirdest fucking thing that has ever happened. And I think that's great. Like, that's how you got to do it. You can't be wink wink about it. It's just like, no, man, we made a giant toaster to kill our Pop-Tart and then people ate him with
their
hands.
He loves it.
You
can't wait for it to happen.
Yeah. Like, it turns out the flaw in Planners killing Mr. Peanut was that they didn't make it dark and visceral enough. They were like, you can kill him, but it needs to be, like, really weird and gory.
Right. The guy who
should have been weirder, but also, like, the weirdness of it should not have been acknowledged by, like, the ad copy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy who got fired for the Baby Nut campaign is like, oh, come on. Like, watching this. Everyone loves this.
Like, it has to have the energy as if this was just like the immediate point A thought where it's like, oh, we're sponsoring a football, college football bowl game. Well, we should do something fun with the mascot. It's like, we could have everyone eat him. We could make him into real food and have the players eat him. It's like, yeah, okay, great. Like,
love it.
Like, making people feel almost crazy for saying this is weird in the way they present it.
Yes, you're like, exactly.
Yes. That's what we're doing. Do you not get it? Like, very good.
Of course.
Also, Pop-Tart, I don't know who they're owned by. Probably something awful, but as a snack, I like them. Except bring back the unfrosted apple cinnamon, you fucking cowards.
Give us a
Pop-Tart for adults. It's time.
We could have everyone eat him. It's like, okay. It's like, okay, fine. Who gets to kill him? It's like, kill him. All right. Why don't we cool it down here? How do we kill him? Who kills him?
Yeah, where are his vitals? What do I aim for?
Like, what if we like cut him open, or how do we? It's like, all right, okay, we gotta dial back here.
He should have come out of the toaster with X's on his eyes. That's my only note.
He's winking. He loves it. He loves being dead.
Mm-hmm.
He died peacefully.
Cool it with the toasting there, pal.
True.
Well, beautiful, wonderful way to, for us, end the year, and for our listeners, start the year. Welcome to 2024. I keep saying 2025. I feel like that's a bad sign for this year that I like keep forgetting it's about to happen.
Let's skip. Let's go. 2047.
There's a lot of things that seem like we're going to want to skip them this year. So.
Well, welcome everyone. Should we do plugs?
Let's do it.
Become a subscriber at patreon.com/whatatimepod for weekly bonus episodes and much more. And head to whatatimepod.com/links for our merch store, Discord, and more. Follow Patty, Kath, and Eli on Twitter and Instagram at Patty Moe, at Kath Barbadoro, and at Eli Uden. And check out Kath's other podcasts, Lie, Cheat, and Steal, about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters, wherever you get your podcasts. Here's where you can see us doing stand-up this week.
I have a show this Friday, January 5th at Silo at 7:30. Paid Protest is back, baby. The last few shows have been really fun. I would love if this one would continue to be fun, which means you should come to it. It's going to be great. 7:30. Silo, Bushwick.
I got nothing this week.
Same.
Watch Michael Clayton. That's Patty's plug.
Yeah.
No, never.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.